In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hurts. Pulling for the football. Stamping the right foot. He's back. He's looking. He is firing. And it is caught for a touchdown! A.J. Brown!
Well, just an incredible performance, really, by all last night. I don't know who had a bad game. To my eye, it looked like every Eagle played great. And obviously, Saquon was the greatest of them all. All right, let's talk more Eagles football for the next hour with Seth Joyner. He joins us in studio every Monday at this time. Seth, brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water, it matters. So whether it's a tank or a tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit bradfordwhite.com. Mr. Joyner, how are you, pal?
All good.
Let's get his microphone on. Mr. Joyner, how are you, sir?
Come on, James, wake up, man.
My bad. That's nonsense, man.
Seth, how about this guy, Saquon, man? All right, so Seth, let's start with this. I was trying to figure it out before the show. So you played against Barry Sanders. You played against Emmett. You played against Bo Jackson. You definitely played against Thurman Thomas. I think you played with Terrell Davis. You may have played against Walter Payton early in your career. I'm not sure, that week two of your rookie year or whatever.
I missed that game.
Okay. Yeah. So can you put into words this Saquon thing? I mean, and frame it with, like, these heavyweights that you either played against or have seen through the years, because this is nuts.
Eric Dickerson.
Yeah.
Would have caught Earl Campbell the strike year. He was the second game of the year that year. That was his final year. That's wild, because that was like my dude growing up. He's the reason I fell in love with football.
So his thighs were just the biggest ever, Earl Campbell's. Yeah. But then Saquon's got some large tree trunk style legs too.
Saquon's a different animal. I think we're starting to see that. And when you give him the required elements to be great, that he can certainly be great. And all the talk about, you know, what the Eagles can do and what they can't do, what they are doing is going old school on you. They are pounding teams into submission slowly but surely. There are times when they run the ball in the middle in the first quarter. It's like, what the hell are you doing? But what it does, what they're doing, is they're wearing teams down. I mean, 45 carries last night, 45 runs, of which he had 30 on his own.
Yeah.
That's old school football. And I'm reminded of, you know, when we used to play against the K-gun, the red gun, the run and shoot. You know, Buddy used to always call them a finesse football team. And when you're playing against a finesse football team, you have to hit them in the mouth. You have to beat them up. And, you know, when I look at this Rams team, that's what they are. You know, with all the window dressing, you know, all the motion all over the place and all the guys crossing, they're just trying to create confusion. So you just beat them into submission. You know, and that happened on both sides of the football.
It really did. Yeah. I mean, Seth, the defense last night.
I do have a worry, though. I do have one worry.
Yep.
Emerging from all the good, if Slay is down, Isaiah Rodgers, how – I do think he was sort of falsely accused last night.
As a bogus penalty.
Potentially.
As a joke.
Felt a little unfair, but it does feel like there's a serious drop-off at times.
No, it ain't.
No?
No, it ain't.
We're okay?
To be honest with you, I actually prefer it that the other way around.
You prefer Isaiah Rodgers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of Slay, because he'll actually stick his face in there?
Yeah. He'll stick his face in there, and he'll challenge you. I would say, you know, he was a little gun-shy after that ghost of a call, the PI that gave them the ball at the one, and then all of a sudden, boom, they score. And
That makes me think that he's worse. You know, like when he gets that call against him, I think it's, I don't know, is it human nature? I just think bad play, Isaiah Rodgers.
It was a bad call. It was just a bad call
but
by the ref.
It was a bad call.
It was total nonsense.
It was horrendous call.
It was horrible. Both of them were horrible calls.
You also have to take into consideration, you know, this guy didn't play any football at all last year. You know, so and then you throw him in there cold, and I get it, next man up, that's his job to be ready. But I think the upside is much greater. You know, as great a player as Darius Slay has been, I just don't notice there anymore. He looks timid sometimes, non-aggressive. Listen, let me tell you something. When you have two rookies on the field and your primary offensive passing attack is at the two veterans on the other side of the field, that's a damn problem. That's a damn problem. I mean, and they were looking until Slay got hurt to the point where they took him out of the game. Wherever he was aligned, they were attacking him. That was the game plan. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched that or noticed that in the game last night, but that was the game plan. I don't care whether it was Puka, whether it was Cooper, or whoever it was. But the young guys, I mean, after a while, they weren't even throwing the ball in their direction. It's like, all right, no matter where number 20 is, oh, he's out no matter where number two, no matter where number 34 is, we're trying to attack that matchup.
So, Seth, let's talk about Jalen Carter for a moment, because as much as Stafford wanted to do things last night, he was inhibited by his line, which is getting run over. And Jalen Carter was the main disruptor. How good or great is he at this stage?
Listen, he's come a long way, because a lot of the double teams that he would have to take on last year, he'd kind of get stuck. You know, the problem is, you know, when you're being double teamed, is you can't fight two guys. You got to destroy one and let the other guy fall off. Because if in the run game, even though they double you, at some point in time, one of those guys are responsible to come up and get next level on the linebacker. In the passing game, you certainly have to destroy one. Because you're not going to fight off 600 pounds at 300 pounds yourself. So what he's been able to do is figure out, okay, in the run game, if my gap is to the left and I'm being, you know, double teamed, well, I'm going to destroy the guy on the left because that allows me to wind up in my gap. You know, against the pass, it's communication. Because you see a lot of, I would venture to say, I don't know how many sacks the Eagles have, but I would venture to say that at least on half of those, he is the chaotic, disruptive force that allows someone else to get the sack.
And that's why I think, Seth, that as much as we're bummed about the Brandon Graham thing, and truly bummed, you know, and they are light out there on the edge, what Jalen Carter is doing inside helps the whole thing.
It does.
Because you see sacks that happen because he creates it, but someone else cleans it up.
It does, but BG is going to be a huge miss. I don't know if you guys were watching last night, but his first sack came from the defensive tackle position. You know, he was down in a three technique, and I've been saying forever, he's had
so much production from inside.
Of
I think
course.
The sack of Tom Brady, the strip
inside,
sack, was from the D tackle
correct.
Spot.
A lot of what winds up happening is a guy can be good on the outside, and as he begins to slow down, if he has the size and the strength, you can now move him inside because his speed and his quickness and his ability to make moves on the inside, guards aren't equipped to handle that. Tackles are much more equipped to handle that stuff on the outside. But when you put a guy like Brandon down on the inside and he's got a two-way go because of communication with the other D tackle, he can be dominant. And to be honest with you, I don't think he's done. I don't think he's done. A lot of people get the sense that, you know, that he's done and he's going to walk away after this year. I think the Eagles would be smart to offer him a contract to bring him back because his leadership is unparalleled, and he was playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
You know, I referred to him last week in my TV show as Benjamin Button, the way he's playing. It's amazing.
Yeah. It really was. Yeah. All right, let's get some calls in here. Seth with us for the entire hour, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Ken and Cinna Manson. What's going on, Ken?
Good morning, friends. How are you today? What a beautiful morning.
Yeah, it really is, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth, to your point, I just want to note that the first play that Slay was off the field in the first quarter when him and Blankenship collided, it was Isaiah Rodgers that caused that fumble. So, you know, there is something to be said for corners who are actually willing to tackle.
Yes.
Listen, This is a really, really, really good football team. And, you know, the Lions, just for a brief second, if you look at their schedule has been set up since the beginning of the year for them to succeed. They've got their toughest. They don't have to go outside in the cold anymore the rest of the year. So my concern is that one drop pass is going to be the difference between the one seed and the two seed. But I'm not going to dwell on that right now. I thought Jalen Hurts played his best game of the year last night.
He was
night.
Great,
I mean,
Ken. He was fantastic last night.
Yeah, the numbers don't bear it out, but his eye level
Seth?
Never came down. He was great.
Seth thought he got me. I kind of got him back a little bit. No, Seth, he was great. I'm sorry, Ken. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
And his eye level never came down. He was in charge of that game the entire game. That was great. And the other thing, like, we saw Saquon playing for the Giants for all those years, so we always knew Saquon was you know, really good. The thing that kind of I don't think I've ever seen is, you know, you have a lot of these fast guys that accelerate really well. I've never seen a guy that re-accelerates like Saquon Barkley
does. There's no
deceleration
almost. It's so much more fluid in every direction.
Also, how quick he gets momentum. It's unbelievable how fast he is going fast. You know
what
I'm saying?
Well, I'll agree with that, and I'll add another one. How fast he moves to power from speed. I mean, normally when a guy cuts, you're supposed to lose some power in the next, you know, quarter second. He seemingly doesn't.
That first 70-yard touchdown run, they showed the replay from the end zone angle, him coming down the sideline. And you can see how much bigger he is than the guys that are chasing him and running away from him.
Yes.
And all I can think to myself is, it shouldn't be allowed to be that big in that.
Well, so like, so yeah. I'll tell you,
physics.
I'll give you something starting to come into focus for me. And Ken, good call, man. Appreciate it. So I remember when Saquon came out in that draft, I believe it was 2018. Gil Brandt, who, John, you and I knew a little bit, and of course, ran the Dallas Cowboys for many years, went on record as saying that he thought Saquon, and Gil Brandt was like 85 at the time or something. He has since passed away. He thought Saquon was the greatest running back prospect he'd ever seen.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Now, you're talking about a guy that Gil Brandt saw it all for 50 years.
And he was the draft guy.
That was part of how the Dallas Cowboys were built. They drafted well, and they created that whole chart and the whole deal and blah, blah, blah. And he said he thought
greatest
that he was
running back prospect he's
yes,
ever seen.
Yes.
Gil Brandt.
That's what he said.
Who has seen every running back prospect for the last, I don't know,
50 years.
Yeah,
60,
at least
50 years.
Yeah. So, Seth, how does Saquon compare to Bo Jackson? I think you faced him in 89 or 88. So that'd be kind of prime Bo. How does he compare?
The similarities are striking. You know, especially, you know, body size and ability to accelerate. I think that Saquon is more nimble. Bo was more of a one cut and go kind of guy. Like, he wasn't making anybody miss.
Yeah.
He was either going to outrun you or he was going to run you over.
Well,
Saquon is like the total
package.
There's more
control associated with it.
And I was thinking about, I was trying to, because, you know, the MVP conversation, you know, Adrian Peterson, I think it was 2012, won the MVP. And I was looking at his numbers last night and making the comparison, and Saquon's on pace to outdo those numbers in rushing yards, passing, receiving yards, and touchdowns on both sides as well. You know, Adrian Peterson was a beast, but I don't think Adrian Peterson had the element of illusion either. He was either going to run you over, or, you know, if he got in the open field, he was going to run away from you when he was in his prime, and there was nobody to go get him.
And I don't think he was as good a receiver. I know that his numbers, the volume on the receptions for Adrian Peterson was up there, but he wasn't as natural a catcher of the football as Saquon is. Saquon is
so. Let me tell you. I'll tell you this. Last night, I started thinking, why stop at MVP? He could be Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. I'm not kidding. If they win, technically Super Bowl doesn't count, but if he breaks the record,
absolutely.
Now, who would it be as of right now, James?
Caitlin
Clark, maybe? With the WNBA influence.
That's a good number.
And remember, she's
had
two things this year. She had the March Madness.
I mean, Shohei.
College basketball. And Shohei.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Shohei.
But I'm just saying, I mean, if he breaks the record.
So it would be listen,
if he
too.
If he breaks the record and the Eagles
en route to a Super Bowl.
And the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
But hold on, it doesn't count because they name it December 31st-ish. Yeah. Like, wow. It's a shame.
It is a shame because if he wins the Super Bowl, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl and he wins the Super Bowl MVP and the MVP.
Right.
It's
a wrap.
It's a no-brainer.
It's unbelievable. Let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Red tag bonus cash on every new Armin Chevrolet Equinox. And soon, together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, John, how do you think people voted today on this question? Which is the best team in the NFL? Is it the A, Eagles, B, Bills, C, Lions, D, Chiefs? Eagles, Bills, Lions, Chiefs.
Mm.
How do you think this thing got...
I think the fact that we threw the AFC teams in there is really going to... Maybe not. You know what? The excitement of last night being so immediate, I think we're still going to sit at a passing 70.
So the Eagles are in first place, but it's tight with one team. Which team do you think people voted it tight with?
Oh, the Lions.
Correct.
The Lions.
46% Eagles, 42% Lions. So NFC got 90% of the vote. 88%. My fault. Bad math on me. 8% for the Chiefs, 4% for the Bills.
Wow.
So
okay, well.
You know, there's a collision course that's coming here.
Big time, man.
Totally.
Big time.
It's a major collision course, and I think that the next 2 weeks are going to be the telltale sign for, you know, what the major collision course winds up being. The next two games will be the two most physical football games that the Eagles will have to play back-to-back with the Ravens and then the Steelers.
They have the Panthers in between. It's Ravens, Panthers, Steelers.
It doesn't matter.
Well said.
All right, let's talk
That's a bye week, James.
That's so true. Let's talk. That's a rack.
That's perfect.
That's a Saquon rack up 170 and get out.
They just took the Chiefs to 30-27.
Yeah, but that's indicative and an indictment on the Chiefs,
it
in
is.
My opinion.
It is.
Yeah,
right. Let's talk to Vince. He's calling from Naples. Vince, good morning.
Hey, I'm on my way to Naples, but that's okay.
Good man. Naples, Italy, or Naples, Florida?
No, Naples, Florida.
Okay.
Either one's great.
That's true.
It's warmer there than it is here.
First, a shout-out. Steph, much respect for you and what you've done for our team. My Eagles that I've loved, that I've been going to these games for over 50 years, and really, really love them. And other
Thank
one
you,
is
Vince.
You, Ray, who I think your insight is awesome and excellent, and you really are an expert. You're the MVP of that morning show. But what I want to say here is that you're welcome, man. I mean it. I have been watching this team for a long time. I've never seen anybody like Saquon Barkley. Yep. The other day I was watching the Army game because I have some family and big respect to the servicemen and the veterans, and was rooting for Army, and they have the number one rushing yards in the country, and they were stopped because that's all they had. And
probably haven't that since Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside. Can you name them, Seth?
No.
44 and 45 was Glenn Davis. Who's the other guy, Seltzer? Mr. Inside, Mr. Outside for Army. 44 and 45. Honestly, what I'm trying to do right now is deflect from Vince, who's making good points, but he's got such talking in the background. I'm just trying
Well, he's at the airport.
I'm trying to give the person... Yeah. Just shut up back there! All right, Vince, let's find out if the woman talking behind you is still talking. Hello.
So,
Yeah, she stopped.
I'm still here.
No, but she's not.
You shamed her.
Yeah. So, the point I'm trying to make is that... You could have a possibly potential, and not even potential, the best running back in the league. And behind him, almost in the shadows now, is Jalen, who has upped his game. I mean,
he really has. Yeah.
He's not even a scrambling quarterback like my favorite Cunningham. He is a running quarterback. And he's a runner, and he's also a passer. And now he's going to the next level. He's throwing the ball away when he needs to. It's beautiful, and he is not turning the ball over. And if he doesn't turn the ball over and he continues to run and we got the number one running back, I don't know who's going to stop this team.
Well, Vince, look, I think you say a lot really good there and great call. You know, Seth, you made the point a couple weeks back, maybe as far back as 5 to 7 weeks ago, that you wanted to see them dial Jalen back to sort of bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And it does feel like that's exactly what has happened.
Well, they had to, Joe. I mean, he struggled so much throughout the first four games of the season. You have the luxury of a running back. And this is really amazing to me because I know that the Eagles brass don't like to play football this way. But when you go and you sign a running back like Saquon, this is, you know, this is the linchpin of the offense for the moment. Now, Jalen's going to have his time where he's going to be required to step forward and pass the football. And we've seen him do it in the past.
Yeah.
So all this chatter about the fact that he can't is nonsense. But they had to dial him back in order to allow him to catch up in this offense where he could be efficient. Now, let me give you some numbers, you know, because I wanted to know. Because it's not – the Jalen hate is not just in Philadelphia. It's a national thing. You got clowns all across the board that are like, oh, you know, the Eagles can't win with a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, okay? So let me give you some facts. Over the last six games, Jalen is averaging. You can even throw this in here when you hear the numbers of what his numbers were last night, or you can think about what those are. He is averaging throwing the football 21 times a game over the six, over the previous, leading into last night's game. He is completing 16 of those 21. That's 70%. Okay? One interception, 11 yards per completion.
Yeah, that's big.
Okay?
Really big.
So when you really stop and think about it, we got other quarterbacks that are throwing the ball 30, 40 times a game, and you're asking Jalen to only throw it on average 21 times a game, and he's completing 16 of those, okay? People need to understand. Back in the day, this is how great quarterbacks were back in the day, throwing the ball 25 times on average and throwing for 300 yards. But you're asking, he's doing what he's coached to do. He is providing what you've asked him to do. And slowly but surely, you'll ramp him up. Last night, what was it, 18 for 22? He only threw it about 22 times.
He's been really efficient.
Come on, man.
And Seth, he's picking his spots of when to run, and he's getting big first downs, man. Big first downs.
So people need to look at this thing for what it's worth, you know? Would you rather have Jalen Hurts throw the ball 50 times and rack up 350 yards passing in order for you to feel good about your quarterback? Or would you rather your quarterback be efficient in the minimal amount of passes that they're asking him to throw per game and putting the game on your franchise running back's legs and your best offensive line? I think it's safe to say we can say that they're the best offensive line in all of pro
and
football.
And they're killing
now.
Teams.
The problem
man,
is
just
killing
them. Mauling them, man. Absolutely mauling them.
And a player like you that played at what, 255, 250? What were you?
245.
All right, so you were big then. These guys are small now, meaning linebackers. Dude, you got a Dickerson, you got Mulata, you got Becton and Lane Johnson, those four. Forget Juergens, who can very skilled, but those four, when they meet a 220-pound linebacker, it's over. I mean, they are crushing linebackers when they get to that level.
Especially when you don't know when you're trying to, you know. I drew up three plays from last week, John, and I'm telling you, Jeff Stoutland, he's an absolute genius. I drew up three plays, and I'm like, I've never seen these blocking combinations ever in all my days, in all my days of playing. And
you know,
I study your film.
That's your thing. I know.
And I'm looking. They're running like a double trap, man. They're running a trap on both sides.
Yeah.
And the running back actually has the option of hitting this trap, this side, or this side. So I'm like drawing it up because I'm like totally amazed.
I've never heard of anything like that.
I'm gonna send you what I drew up. I wish I had the video so I could show it to you. But I'm watching these runs and I'm looking and I'm like, as a linebacker, you don't even know where the hell to read.
Right. Wow. Because you've got multiple possible entry points. How could you read that?
Unbelievable.
I love it.